the most fractured Federal Reserve vote since 1992, 8-4. And in the dissenting statements, for the first time, multiple governors are explicitly citing Bitcoin's fixed supply as a benchmark for what sound money should look like. But here's the question nobody's asking. What does an internal Fed debate over digital dollars have to do with the Bitcoin in your wallet?
I'm Lauren, and welcome to BitTalk. Let's jump in.
I'm Mike, and I'm here for the signal, not the spin.
Bitcoin Veterans is building a community where service, purpose, and Bitcoin come together. Through education, events, podcasts, and meetups, they help veterans connect, learn, and find a new mission in the Bitcoin space. Learn more at bitcoinveterans.org.
Today, we're going to decode what that dissent really signals, then give you three concrete steps to verify your self-custody setup. Because when central bankers start using Bitcoin as a benchmark, the window for personal sovereignty narrows. No price talk, just operations.
So let's get the facts straight. Last week's FOMC meeting ended with an 8-4 vote to hold rates at 3.5-3.75%. That's the most fractured decision since 1992. And it was Jerome Powell's final meeting as chair, with Kevin Warsh's nomination already moving through the Senate.
Right, but the kind of dissent is what's new here. This wasn't just hawks versus doves arguing over whether to cut or hike. In the personal statements attached to the dissenting votes, multiple governors reference the monetary properties of Bitcoin directly. One wrote that a fixed supply digital asset provides a more transparent monetary benchmark than current central bank frameworks.
That language never appears in Fed dissents. I mean, we've seen dissents over inflation targeting, over balance sheet policy, over forward guidance. But referencing Bitcoin's supply schedule as a benchmark for sound money, that's a first.
It's like a family dinner where everyone's arguing over the right way to cook the turkey. And someone pulls out a cookbook from 2009. Except the cookbook is the Bitcoin white paper.
So what does fixed supply benchmark actually mean in central banker language? Because to a regular person, it just sounds like jargon.
Here's the breakdown. Central bankers operate within a framework where they have to guess what the natural rate of interest is. They look at CPI, PCE, employment data, and try to set policy based on where they think the economy is heading. But Bitcoin's supply schedule doesn't care about any of that. It's 21 million, period. No committee votes on whether to print more. No quarterly projections that get revised.
It's like a GPS that doesn't recalculate the destination based on traffic. Bitcoin's supply schedule doesn't care about economic sentiment.
Ironically, the Fed's own economists have run models showing that a fixed supply money system would reduce the frequency of boom-bust cycles. But their job security depends on not recommending it.
So we have central bankers who can see the data, who know the theory, but whose institutional incentives prevent them from acting on it. And now they're putting that recognition in writing.
Exactly. And if you missed our last episode on sound money and inflation reports, the same principles apply here, just with a new institutional coat of paint. The fixed supply isn't a price signal, it's a property signal.
So the question becomes, if the Fed sees value in Bitcoin's monetary properties, what does that mean for regular holders? What changes in your personal operations?
Okay, let's pause there. We've seen the internal debate, but most people don't wake up thinking about FOMC dissents. They want to know, what changes in my personal Bitcoin operations because of this?
That's exactly where we're going. When institutionally credible actors start using Bitcoin as a benchmark, two things happen. First, the window for cheap, easy self-custody closes. More people pile in, more intermediaries offer easy solutions that actually reduce your sovereignty.
Second, the sovereignty argument gets stronger. You no longer have to argue what if. You can point to the Fed's own words. The same logic applies here that we covered 2 weeks ago, with the U.S. Navy running a Bitcoin node. When the military runs the software and the central bank references the benchmark, the question becomes, why are you still trusting a third party?
So let's get concrete. Step one, if you haven't run a personal node, do it this week. Tools like Umbral or Start9 let you set one up in under an hour. This means you're validating your own transactions, not relying on someone else's copy of the blockchain.
Step two, seed phrase verification. Most people don't realize they're using a single point of failure. A 2-of-3 multi-sig setup with hardware wallets means even if the Fed's descent were to trigger a custodial scramble, your coins stay under your signature.
I did my quarterly recovery test last Sunday. It took about 40 minutes. And I caught that my Trezor firmware was 2 versions behind. That 1 hour saved me weeks of potential headaches if something had gone wrong.
That's the kind of operational habit that matters. Step 3. Automate your DCA into a self-custodial wallet. Use something like Moon or Phoenix. Set a fixed dollar amount every week, regardless of what the FOMC does.
The volatility compression we're seeing right now, that's noise. The signal is the fixed supply. And the Fed just admitted they see it too.
Bitcoin Veterans is a group of military veterans, and Bitcoin advocates focused on education, community, and helping veterans build purpose and resilience through Bitcoin. From podcasts and meetups to resources and events, they're creating a place for veterans to keep learning and keep growing. Visit bitcoinveterans.org to learn more.
And we're back. So let's double down on those 3 steps. Node setup, seed verification, DCA automation. That's the operator response to institutional noise.
Let's step back for a second. The Fed's 8-4 split is not a Bitcoin bullish indicator. It's a fiat confidence indicator. The fact that they're using Bitcoin as a benchmark means the debate has moved from, is it money, to what can we learn from it?
That's a threshold crossing. And that's why the operator playbook matters now. Not because the price will go up or down, but because the window for voluntary self-sovereignty is narrowing. As institutions adopt the benchmark, they'll also adopt the custodial rails.
So why did Fed governors look to Bitcoin? Because in a world of discretionary money, the only truly transparent anchor is Bitcoin's 21 million. The dissent told us they see it too. Your job is to act on that knowledge before the game theory fully shifts.
No price predictions. No speculation, just operational readiness. Quick recap. Fed dissent shows Bitcoin's fixed supply is now a recognized benchmark. Your takeaway, verify your node, secure your seeds, automate your DCA. That's it.
And if you want to go deeper, our recent episodes on self-custody trade-offs and the U.S. Navy node are in the feed. They'll give you the infrastructure playbook this episode assumed.
Thanks for spending time with us on BitTalk. If this was useful, follow the show, leave a like, and subscribe. It helps more people find us and help spread Bitcoin. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep stacking knowledge.